You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here along with MLB.com Phillies reporter Todd Zalecki. And Todd, the Phillies certainly struggling right now. Eight straight losses heading into Wednesday night. And you have a matchup on Wednesday night of a 1-6 pitcher for the Phillies and an 0-6 pitcher, 0-5 pitcher in Kyle Gibson with the Twins. Both those ERAs over 6. So we won't be expecting a pitcher's duel in that one. And that's certainly not what we had on Tuesday night either. The Phillies offense finally comes through double-digit runs. They scored 10 runs, but it's still not enough as they fall 14-10 to the Twins as Aaron Nola really struggles again. And Nola, last three starts, Todd, 9 2/3 combined innings, the 17 earned run. He has really struggled. What's going on with Aaron Nola, who looked so mature and so ready for the big stage earlier in the season?
Yeah, talking to him last night after the game, he seems to think it's something mechanical. He seems to think he's maybe rushing through his delivery too much, not overthrowing, but maybe rushing through his delivery a little bit, and things are kind of getting out of sync. So, you know, the question there is, that's been going on for three starts. It hasn't really been figured out yet, but it has not been figured out. Maybe they figured out something, you know, looking at film, or he figured out something looking at film, and maybe in his next bullpen session they'll be able to figure something out. And certainly, you're right, he was so good, really, up until these last three starts. In fact, when I was looking at potential All-Star candidates for the Phillies, I said, okay, yeah, Odubel Herrera, he's hitting over 300. But then I looked at Nola's numbers, and I said, well, if for some reason Herrera wouldn't make it, you know, Nola's ERA at the time was, I think, in the top 10. You know, WHIP was in the top 10. Strikeout-to-walk ratio was, I think, third. He was having a great season, you know, despite playing on a team that doesn't score a lot of runs. But these last three have been bad. ERA up over 15, so certainly he needs to get things straightened out quick. Hopefully by his next start.
Yeah, and this team needs to get things straightened out. You know, you go back to last week, Todd, and they lost big 13-2 to the Blue Jays at home there. And then they have a team meeting, and that didn't work, obviously, because Arizona, they score 5 runs in 4 games. And we talked about the offense last night being there, but it wasn't there in Arizona. What was said in that meeting, or you probably don't exactly know what was said in the meeting, right, but what was the goal of the meeting? And obviously it didn't get done what they were hoping it would.
Yeah, Pete, I think what he had seen is things starting to snowball a little bit, maybe, and guys maybe pressing a little bit too much. And so he basically went in there, and by all accounts, it was a fairly, you know, positive exchange. He basically just tried to tell them, listen, we have two ways we can go about this. Either we can all lay down and die and kind of give up, or we can continue to fight and keep working at it and try to get out of this slump and get things turned around. And that's basically all it was. Just a reminder of, hey, let's not let this season get away from us. You know, we were 24-17 at one point. We were playing pretty well, maybe over our heads a little bit, but nevertheless, you know, we were winning some games, and there's no reason why we can't get back to that. And, you know, certainly – the results have not been there since that meeting. They haven't won since that meeting. But I think if we're looking at it really, truly, honestly, they're outmanned, even, you know, even against a team like the Diamondbacks. You know, it's a team that offensively is struggling like no other team has really struggled in, you know, shoot, over 40 years, or if you look at runs per game average. And, you know, you look at a starting rotation. We just talked about Nola. I mean, Vince Velasquez is out. You know, the rest of the rotation is kind of struggling. And then you have a bullpen that's also been struggling. So they literally have nothing going right for them right now, for the most part. And so, you know, Pete can have as many meetings as he wants. But in the end, these players are going to have to turn it around, and they have not.
Let's try to find some glimmers of hope here, some silver linings. I got one in the lineup and one on the mound. Let's start on the mound. Zach Eflin had a terrible debut, no doubt about it. 2 2/3 innings, he gave up the 8 earned runs. But his second outing, significantly better. He still takes the loss, but he works into the 6th inning. He allows just 2 earned runs. What were the steps he made from his debut to start number 2? Because obviously he was much better.
Yeah, you know, I think with him and any young pitcher, one, nerves kind of maybe a little bit less. He might be a little bit more calm. I think that had to do with it. And I think, you know, just commanding the strike zone and making better quality pitches. That he faced a team in Toronto that if you make any mistakes, you're just going to get absolutely clobbered. So I think it was just really you know, being a little bit more calm out there and making a few better pitches. And also, quite frankly, like I said, not facing Toronto helps your situation a little bit as well. So maybe, you know, he can get things going a little bit. And he's an interesting guy to watch. He's one of Philly's top 10 prospects. They're really high on him. And, you know, Vince Velasquez making a rehab start Wednesday night in Reading. He might only need one rehab start, maybe two rehab starts. It's kind of an opportunity for him. If he goes out and he pitches really well next time he's out, Adam Morgan struggles, you know, maybe you're looking at Vince Velasquez coming back and taking Morgan's spot in the rotation as opposed to Zach Eflin's spot in the rotation.
Yeah, absolutely. The other positive guy recently, Peter Borges, suddenly hitting after really not swinging the bat well most of the year. Last nine games, though, he's hit over 500. Got a couple of doubles, a triple, a homer. He's driven in some runs. He's kind of pushing to get a little more playing time.
Yeah, he is. And Pete McCann said something interesting yesterday. He said, you know, I'm kind of tired trying to mix and match every day and playing a guy one day and another guy the next. He said, I would like to have some continuity in the lineup. I'd like to have some sort of a set lineup that people kind of know their roles. And which has been hard to do because he hasn't had anybody really hitting. So, you know, you don't have a guy hitting, you throw the other guy in, and that guy doesn't hit. So then you throw the third guy in, and that guy doesn't hit. So you go back to the first guy. And that's basically what his season has been in terms of filling out a lineup. But he said before yesterday's game, because we asked him why Tyler Goodell was not in the lineup, and he said, I'm trying to find some continuity here. And I thought about it. I said, well, Peter Borges, interesting. And then, I looked back at his last seven, eight, nine games, and he's been on fire. So it makes sense. And then last night he hits a home run. He has another hit, another two hits, another RBI. So if Peter Borges can keep this up, it sounds like he might be able to get some playing time in there. Now, I know a lot of fans are going to say, well, wait a second, Tyler Goodell's your Rule 5 pick. Don't you want to learn more about him? And that is true. But I think also he needs to start winning some games, not for himself or anything like that. I think he just for the team in general, the team psyche in general. So if Peter Borges is the hot hand at the moment, you want to ride him out. And also defensively, he's much better in right field than Tyler Goodell. And Pete also said Tuesday, you know what, while we are concerned about the offense, this season really is about developing the starting pitching. We really want to see these young starting pitchers develop. So if Peter Borges is swinging a hot bat, and he's a better defensive option in right field, which helps the young starting pitching. Maybe Peter can really push himself in that lineup and stay there for a little while.
Certainly is a tricky situation because obviously Peter Borges is not a part of the long-term future of this team, but that's a really good point you make about the pitching staff and trying to help those guys out because that is extremely important going forward. One other thing to touch on before I let you go, Todd, Mickey Moniak, number one overall pick, signs as expected, well under slot value. The slot value for that number one pick just over $9 million, and Moniak signs for $6.1 million. So that does free up that money for the Phillies to continue to go out there and take care of the rest of those picks. He was introduced on Tuesday afternoon, so in Philadelphia to meet the media. Did you take anything from your first chance to really talk to Mickey Moniak?
You know, he's just a really impressive guy to talk to, 18-year-old guy to talk to. And I said this to a couple people. I said, I don't know what that means, you know. When I talked to him, I was impressed by him. He seems like he's got his head on his shoulders. He seems really intelligent. He seems really insightful. He seems like a good guy. You heard that he was a good makeup guy. Don't know if that's going to translate to anything down the road, but impressive nonetheless. You know, if he can take that attitude onto the field, fight through his struggles that he's inevitably going to face in the minor leagues, and if certainly if his talent matches up, I think the Phillies are going to be very, very happy with that pick. But, you know, an interesting story, and the fact that he signed for well under slot value was obviously part of the plan, and now the Phillies are going to be able to take some of those savings and sign Kevin Gaudy, their second-round pick, and really kind of use the rest of that money in the later rounds to sign some guys that they might not have thought they would have been able to sign.
Yeah, obviously, anytime you take a high school player with that number one pick, there is some risk. But that was kind of the story going into it with Moniak, was that most people felt like the floor was pretty high. And part of that's obviously his talent, but I think part of it also his maturity level for just a 17, 18-year-old kid. Certainly, it'll be fun to watch him develop and make his way towards Philadelphia. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Phillies edition. For Todd Zalecki, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next week.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.